It is 7:30, time once again for Community Forum, and we're very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Jim Ashby, Don Goodwin, and Walter John. Jim Ashby and Don Goodwin are residents of Tent City 4 over on the east side, and Walter John is pastor at Kirkland Congregational Church, and we're going to be discussing Tent City 4. Good morning to you all.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Let me begin by asking, what exactly is Tent City 4? What are Tent Cities?
Tent City 4, Tent Cities in general, it is a homeless encampment of up to 100 people as per our permitting process. It's an interim survival mechanism more than anything else. It's not intended to be a long-term solution to homelessness, but it is a safe place where homeless people can be together, watch out for each other, function as a community, as opposed to being onesie twosies scattered all over the county, under bridges here, in green belts over there. It's a place where resources can be concentrated on the homeless instead of having to go to this organization for this, having to go over here for that. Instead of, it brings everybody together for safety, and the classic safety in numbers. Well, it's totally true in a situation like this. We're a community. We look out for each other, and it exists for mutual protection.
A number of our residents have described, or a number of the residents of Tent City have described for our congregation, what it's like to be on the streets by yourself and how much of your energy is focused on just daily survival, trying to figure out where you're going to get some food that day, trying to figure out where you're going to be able to leave your things if you need to take a shower or if you need to use a restroom, where you're going to sleep that night and whether you're going to wake up the next morning. And so when you're in that situation, you can't care about anybody else because it takes all of your energy, all of your intellect, all your emotional energy, just to make sure that you see the next day. And when someone comes into Tent City, now they do have the community that Don spoke of to be able to help provide security. And so someone can go off to work and not have to carry their backpack with them because they have a place to leave their things, and they know that when they come back, those things are still going to be there.
Another important thing about Tent City is we elect our own officials. We have a set of standards that we have to live by at Tent City that puts it far and above a regular person. I mean, we not only have to follow every other law that every other person has to follow, but we have standards that we set for ourselves that even put us at a higher level. And, you know, I mean, they're just good people just trying to stay safe. That's what they are.
To expand on that a little bit, there's a code of conduct in place for Tent City 3, Tent City 4 that all residents who move in have to sign and agree to the standards of. And some of the high points of that, Tent City 4 is a drug and alcohol free zone. Sobriety is mandatory. It's not like we want, it's not like we encourage sobriety. Sobriety is required. There's no drugs within the facility, no alcohol. If you're caught under the influence, if you have alcohol in your possession, drugs, drug paraphernalia, you're gone. That's it. There's no zero tolerance for it. No weapons. No violence or threats of violence is tolerated. You get caught making a threat against another resident, again, you're gone. You're out of there. No ethnic, racist, sexist, homophobic remarks. No intimidation. Respect the rights of your fellow residents and respect the rights of the community around you. We've got very serious rules in place about no loitering in the general community immediately outside. If you're going somewhere, if you're on your way to work, go to the bus stop, get there within a reasonable amount of time ahead of time, within 10 minutes of when your bus is supposed to arrive, get on the bus, go take care of your business, but don't just be, we strongly discourage to the point of barring people who do it, hanging around, loitering in the neighborhood, and these rules are very seriously enforced.
this level of discipline is a surprise for congregations that choose to host, and the level of response has sometimes been described as wrath of God discipline, because there are very high standards, and if someone misses their round of providing security for the camp and is not able to reconcile that with the camp, they're barred for a period of time as discipline. If someone does not carry through on responsibilities or breaks some of the rules that Don's talked about, they're barred from the camp for 3 days, for a week, and it's a cooling off time and a time to realize that if they're going to function in Tent City, they have to follow the rules of the community. But for those of us who go our own way during the day and make our own decisions, sometimes it seems like a pretty stark discipline for the transgression of rules.
How many people are in Tent City for, and how do you guys make your decisions? Is it a democratic process?
It most certainly is. Right, we can have up to 100, as Don said. I think right now we are a little over 60.
70.
Is it 70? 70 residents as we speak now, but we can have up to 100. And every week we have a weekly, like a town meeting, where our executive committee, everybody's elected on those days. And then the committee itself is a committee, like I said, you know, nobody arbitrarily is in charge. There's usually a committee involved in everything, a committee decision. So it's completely democratic. No one person ever has the reins for... It's a nice place to live. It really is. It's a nice place.
If I could expand on that a little bit, the executive committee that is responsible for all the day-to-day management functions of the camp is elected, like he said, at the weekly meetings. There's 5 members of executive committee and 2 alternates who are available to step in should someone become temporarily unavailable, have an appointment that requires them to miss one of their shifts or something like that. To get back to what we were discussing, like some of the potential bars that people can be temporarily or permanently removed from the committee, from the community, rather, requires a signature on the paperwork of 3 members of the committee. Nobody can just say, I'm on committee, I make the call, you're out of here. There has to be some agreement in place that, yes, the offense occurred, the offense is serious, and it requires at least 3, if not more, signatures to do anything like that. There's a number of other positions within the camp, in addition to the executive committee, that are also elected. The people who manage the kitchen tent on a day-to-day basis are elected. The people who handle the incoming donations, they're elected. The people responsible for the laundry of the blankets on a weekly basis, my job, for instance, I'm the community and press liaison for the camp, and they're all elected. If anybody is not doing their job, they can be removed for cause and have somebody else elected into the position. It's self-management, pure representative democracy, and it works. It works very well. A lot of people who come down, when they get a tour, they come around and take a look at the place, they're extremely surprised at how well things run, how organized it is, and the fact that it's not just pure anarchy, that there's a lot of that idea in people's heads before they come down and see us, but I hear it all the time. I'm very surprised at how well this is run, at the way the rules are in place and enforced.
Talk a bit, if you would, about the need for Tent City. I think a lot of people, you know, question it because aren't there shelters available?
Okay, there are some shelters. There are not near enough. Few stats here. According to the annual one-night count of homelessness, on any given night in King County overall, there are 8,000-plus homeless people somewhere on the streets countywide. At the same time, on any given night, there is a grand total of 2,500 shelter bed spaces, and that's less than 1 in 3 countywide. Deaths out on the street in the last couple of years, 2003, 36 homeless people died out on the streets. 2004, 38. And 6 months into 2005, just barely over 6 months, we're at 19 deaths year to date. So we're unfortunately on track to keep those numbers going, if not increasing, and that's not a good thing at all. When you sleep outside alone, you're very likely not to wake up. It's not a good situation at all, whether we're talking about down in Pioneer Square, whether we're talking out in a green belt somewhere. It's a survival mechanism. That's what the need for it is. It's not a solution. No one associated with us has ever pretended that this is a long-term solution to homelessness. It's an interim survival mechanism. It's a critically needed interim survival mechanism.
There is another level of Tent City. When Don mentions all of the numbers of people that are in need of housing, we have a societal problem of dealing with affluence, and we're in a place here in the Puget Sound area where there is tremendous affluence, and we take it for granted, and many people in the middle class see themselves not as blessed or gifted with a lot of money, but see themselves as just struggling to get by in relationship to some of the excessive riches that we see. But the problem of people not being able to afford housing, of people not being able to stretch their budgets to cover food, to cover clothing, as well as shelter, is not a problem just for individuals, but it's a societal problem. And what Tent City does, because it brings some controversy along with it, what Tent City does is it reminds us all about these 8,000 people that are without a home. And it reminds us all that we have to be doing something about it. And it's very easy when people are hidden away under bridges or in green belts, when people are not visible, it's easy to forget that. And when Tent City comes into a community, then people are reminded that we all need to care about each other, because it's impossible for us to have a fulfilling life when we are doing that at the cost of someone else. And we need to make sure that we are all working together so that the standard of living for all of us is raised. So for a congregation, it's an excellent opportunity for us to put our faith into works. And so instead of just saying that we care about everyone as Jesus did, we're now able to do something concrete and stand by the homeless people in making this public statement and saying this is not just a political statement, this is not just shelter for this particular group of people, but this is also a justice issue and a faith statement saying that we as a community need to care about each and every one.
And yet there seems to be a lot of coverage in the media of opponents to the Tent Cities. What has been your reaction and responses to some of the criticisms that have been brought up by those people?
Well, there has been, historically, over the last 13, 14 months that Tent City 4 has been in existence on the east side, there was initially a huge amount of resistance to our existence over there, and the press coverage has largely focused on the negative. At the same time, there has been, over on the east side, there has been a huge, huge outpouring of generosity and help from the community at large. There's an organization that is associated with Tent City 4 called East Side Cares. More than 30 churches participate, over 900 plus volunteers, ranging from people that bring ice, food, coffee every single day to little old ladies that show up in the middle of a freezing winter night with a pot of homemade vegetable soup. Historically, if you look at the last year, the press has unfortunately focused almost exclusively on the people who are opposed to us, and the East Side has gotten this really unfortunate rap as an completely uncaring, completely down on the poor, down on the homeless, and it's not true. It's absolutely not true. There is a huge number of very giving, caring, generous people over on the east side, and they've stepped up to the plate, they've stepped forward, helped us consistently.
The media likes a controversy, but the opponents have made things much more difficult than it's needed to be, because churches are reluctant to step forward because of the controversy that surrounds it, and many of the congregations have been challenged in court and have had to go to King County Superior Court before the judge has said churches have a constitutional right to provide temporary housing for the poor, and all we can do is put some minimal restrictions, and the religious land use rules require that those restrictions are minimal restrictions so that they don't inhibit the constitutional right of the church to do its work. But in each community, when the church has had to go to court, when the community has had to go to court, that's been increased expenses for each community, and many a majority of the expenses that these municipalities have had to cover have been expenses that were related to the court challenges and the opposition. And the communities find that the work with Tent City itself, oversight, police protection, is minimal compared to the amount of energy that city staff take up responding to those who are in opposition.
And when you're taken to court, are you taken to court by surrounding citizens, or are you taken to court by cities?
Well, in Bothell, it was the city of Bothell that took the church to court, and the judge in that decision said that the church had a right to offer care for the homeless, but that there needed to be restrictions in place. In our case in Kirkland, when Kirkland Congregational Church extended the invitation, and we did so on a very short timeline, if I can take a sidetrack for a moment. When Tent City comes in, they make a promise to the host organization as well as to the neighborhood, saying we will be here for a set period of time, and it's generally been 90 days, 3 months. And when that time is up, we will leave. And even if you offer an extension to us, we will leave because we have promised that we will only be here for 90 days. And so at each time that what the opponents call is a crisis situation, it's a crisis situation because Tent City has said we will leave. And as Don mentioned, they've been in negotiations with organizations, but if those negotiations fall through, now they are coming up against their own imposed deadline without any offers. And so that was the situation when we stepped forward in Kirkland as a church in unincorporated King County in the Bellevue jurisdiction was talking about hosting. They finally had a vote, and the congregation voted no. And so there was less than 2 weeks before the camp had committed to leave and no place to go. And so our congregation came together quickly, listened to information, made a congregational decision to extend an invitation of 55-2 vote of our congregation, so a very strong supportive vote. And when they came in, the opponents complained, well, you don't have a permit to do this. Well, we believed we already had a permit because we have a constitutional right to do this, but we still worked in cooperation with the city of Kirkland because we've always had a good relationship with the city. But two neighbors took the church and Share Wheel to court. And so when we went in, we were going as church and homeless community. And Judge Lum stated in our situation also, he said, I do not have the authority to say no to Tent City coming to the parking lot of Kirkland Congregational Church if the church chooses to host. But you will follow some restrictions until an agreement is in place with the city of Kirkland for oversight.
And then finally, at the last move that we made from when we left Walter John's facility and went to Lake Washington United Methodist Church in Rose Hill in Kirkland, we finally had the luxury of being able to work far enough ahead in time that we had a permit in place prior to the move date, that all the community notification that was required by City of Kirkland had been done, all the T's were crossed, the I's were dotted, and the paperwork was legal. And this is the first time in 5 sites that TC4 has had that there was no legal challenge made to the permitting process. And we are working right now. It's our strong hope to be able to find a church somewhere in Bellevue with sufficient lead time that we can again have all the legal processes, community notifications required, etc., to have all our paperwork in place before we make the move. That's what we're working on right now.
And if you belong to a congregation on the east side and you are would consider having Tent City 4 as a guest, you could call 206-448-7889. That's SHARE, our parent organization, and talk to them about it.
And it's my understanding that Bellevue is currently trying to erect some hurdles that are pretty extreme for tent cities.
Yes, in each case for the moves on the east side, each local jurisdiction municipality has been forced to scramble to come up with some guidelines. And in Kirkland, the city of Kirkland was extremely cooperative and supportive in both making sure that the legal needs of the citizens of Kirkland were protected, but also the rights of the church and the homeless community were also protected. And so I think they were very courageous in stepping forward to make sure that their expectations were reasonable ones. And they inspired, I believe, King County, along with some pressure from the Church Council of Greater Seattle and a number of other religious groups. King County voted some very reasonable standards also for hosting Tent City at any churches that were within the unincorporated King County area. However, the city of Bellevue did not seem to take an example from either the city of Kirkland or the Church Council of Greater Seattle, and they instead have looked to migrant worker regulations and have taken huge chunks of that and tried to apply it to Tent City. And what they have now is a proposed ordinance that will make it very difficult for churches to host because of the standards that they want the churches to meet. But the standards of a migrant worker camp where there is an organization that is paying workers and should have the welfare of the workers in mind is different than a congregation that's stepping forward to provide help for people who would otherwise be sleeping out on their own. And so I think that Bellevue is extremely restrictive, and if a church is brave enough to step forward and a lawsuit takes place, I think the city of Bellevue is going to lose.
To expand a little bit more on some of the things that they're talking about requiring, at least in the most recent draft proposal that we've seen of the ordinance coming down, they're asking for things like one sink for every 6 residents, one shower stall for every 15 residents, a certain amount of square footage of food preparation space per resident, mechanical refrigeration available. And if you take a look at homeless shelters statewide, I mean, there is no homeless shelter anywhere in the state that's being held up to a standard like this. This is pretty unique what they're trying to pull off here. The verbiage that they're talking about putting into the draft ordinance was lifted directly out of Washington State Code for migrant workers. And Representative Toby Nixon had tried to have a bill pretty much exactly like this put in place at the state level earlier this year, and it lost big time. It was, I can't remember if it even made it out of committee and onto the floor or not, but was definitely shot down. And this is the latest attempt to have something like this put in place. And like I said, if this was put in place for homeless shelters statewide, you would shut down every homeless shelter in the state because nobody has facilities that are being asked for like this.
What the city of Bellevue is basically saying is we don't want any tent cities in our jurisdiction, but they're not coming out and saying it directly. Instead, they're just putting excessive regulations on that will end up with that end. And I think that would have been much more courageous of the city of Bellevue to have stood up and said, we don't want 10 cities if that's what their position is. But I urge them to take example from Kirkland, from the church council, and make it possible for the community to host Tent City. Tent City is a very strong positive experience for the hosting organization and as well as for the community, because people in the community get a chance to see what homelessness is, to talk with people who are in the homeless encampment, and to realize that when they go to McDonald's or when they go to a restaurant, that some of the people that are providing services for them might very well be homeless people who are sleeping in their cars, who are somehow getting themselves ready for work the next day. And when Tent City 4 was on our site, there were probably close to a dozen people who were working in the Kirkland area providing services for us. And a good percentage of people who are in Tent City are people who are working jobs and who are trying to save up enough money to be able to get into an apartment and know that they'll be able to stay in that apartment for an extended period of time.
Follow up on that. Talk about how important homes, a shelter, is to being able to get on your feet, to be able to, you know, participate at the level that society expects us to.
Well, for one, it's really hard to get a job if you don't have an address. You apply for a job, if the employer has no way of getting a hold of you, you're not really considered for that employment. At Tent City, there's a phone, message phone, there's an address. It's not never meant to be permanent, but it is a start. And it's in a way an employer can get a hold of a person to say, come to work. So, you know, if you're sleeping under a bridge, you're not going to have much of a chance of getting a job. It just, you know, if an employer has no way of saying, hey, we want you for the job, they have no way of calling you. But at Tent City, that opportunity is provided for you, you know, thanks to Share Wheel and who provide, you know, I mean, it's not free to live in Tent City. I mean, somebody pays. Our prayer organization, we have our Santa cans, dumpsters, phones. It's all provided for the residents. And that money comes through donations to people. And it's just really important. If a guy's just a person serious about looking for an employment, you have to have something to start with, like a phone number.
Also, another thing that we provide for the residents, just a wake-up service that the security, whoever's on security patrol from 3 in the morning till 6 in the morning, from 6 in the morning till 9 in the morning, if you don't have an alarm clock, you can get your name on the list the night before, say, you know, I have to be up at 5 o'clock this morning. In my case, I have to be up at 4:30 in order to get a little bit of breakfast, get down to the very first bus, get over to Woodinville and meet my boss. And there's a lot of the temp agencies over on the east side that whenever they have openings, they call us and they say, you know, hey, look, we need people this morning, or we are going to need people tomorrow morning. Spread the word. Let everybody know that, you know, we're going to have this operation going on. We're going to have need for people to volunteer at one of the things that was recently done was the we provided a number of course marshals for one day to the Kirkland Marathon. City of Kirkland just came over to us and said, we need like 10 people. And we had a bunch of people went out, made, I think it was like about $10 an hour that they got paid for the day. And we provided a bunch of course marshals for the race.
At our at a church host location also, you have people that are gathered together so that volunteers can actually provide meals. And every evening, a hot meal was provided by a different church group or community organization, or sometimes individual families would come together. And then donations to the camp help provide food in the kitchen tent for breakfast and lunches, so people can make lunches and go to work or have something to eat before they go. So they don't have to worry about food on a daily basis, because food is being provided for the whole community, and they're free to put their energies towards working.
All right. Unfortunately, we are pretty much out of time. Could you tell us again how people can contact and support Tent City 4?
Yes. That number is for Share Wheel, and the number is 206-448-7889. If anybody has any donations or wants to consider hosting us, that would be the number to call.
And if I could just take a few seconds, I'd like to make sure that I mention that we always welcome visitors at the site. If you've got questions, if you just want to take a look around, see how it's run, talk to some of the people, drop by. Right now, we're in Rose Hill neighborhood in Kirkland, 132nd Avenue, 75th Street, just a little bit south of the main drag, 85th. Stop by anytime. Take a look around. Talk to us. We'd love to see you.
You can have a tour, the whole deal.
All right. Well, I want to thank you all three for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having us again.
Thank you.
We have just been speaking with Jim Ashby and Don Goodwin, who are both residents of Tent City 4, and Walter John, who is pastor with Kirkland Congregational Church.